You're listening to the audio version of Victory Condition Gaming, sponsored by Forget Me Not Flowers and Gifts in Barrie, Vermont. You can check them out online at forgetmenotflowersbarrie.com. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, search for Victory Condition Gaming, and you can also follow me on Twitter at DougVCGaming. And if you'd like to watch us live every week, make sure to subscribe to Victory Condition Gaming on YouTube. You've read the art book, you've played the RPG, and watched the Amazon series, and now you're going to experience Tales from the Loop in a whole new way with the board game. Today, we're going to have some coffee and conversation with Martin Takeuchi, the board game's designer.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thank you, Martin, for giving me part of your day. As we know that the world's been a crazy place. Before we dive in, how are you and your loved ones holding up?
It's working better than I thought, perhaps. We have some very close to nature. We can kind of take nature walks. And even though we have to kind of, wave distantly to other people, we can at least get out of the house. And I think it's actually working better than expected.
Let's talk about this Kickstarter. First of all, congratulations. The board game for Tales from the Loop is on Kickstarter and it's just doing phenomenally well. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
And I'm also going to tell anyone that's watching that if you're interested in checking out the Kickstarter, I'm going to put the link in the description of this video. And if you're excited about Tales from the Loop, the board game, hit the like button, hit the subscribe, all that stuff that you're supposed to do here on YouTube, and leave me a comment. Let me know what you're really excited about, because there's so many different aspects of this game that I really have enjoyed since it's been previewed. Martin, why don't you just give folks a little bit of little more knowledge on you and your background?
Sure. I started working in relation to games when I was a teenager. I started working in a game store here in Stockholm. And then I did that. I worked through different kind of game stores for, I think, maybe about 10 years. And then I started studying some stuff, and I got into film, and I worked at a film store. And gaming has always been like a huge part of my life. I think the main trigger was the original Dungeon Quest.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
Of course, this is the Swedish original is called Drakborgen, Dragon Castle, kind of. So we played that loads and loads when I was 7 or 8 years old, and that kind of put me on the path.
Nice.
And then, of course, I got friendly with Niels and Costa from Free League in maybe 7, 8 years ago, I think.
Okay.
So I started doing like small little bits and bobs here and there, like helping out with some play testing or giving advice on spaceships or whatever it could be. And then I got roped into doing a little bit more, and then I was contracted to do the space expansion for Mutant Year Zero. Ad Astra, which is still in the works, but it's going a bit slowly since we're having a lot of different things here. So, and now, of course, since I've been playing board games and thinking about board games and analyze board games for so long, they pulled me in full time to work on Tales from the Loop.
So let's talk a little bit about this board game. It's hit. I know it's listed a little bit differently for you, but over here it's $188,000 on Kickstarter, which is, considering everything that's going on as well. Yeah. You got to be really, really pleased with that result.
Yeah,
so far.
We are, of course. Yeah, I mean, especially since we have some other Kickstarter giants like Frosthaven rolling at the same time, a few of those things, and of course everything else that's going on in the world. So we're really happy that it's like slowly and steadily climbing up, and every day it's like a few more coming to join the fold. So yeah, we're really happy.
How long has this board game been in the works for at Free League?
Let's see. I think I started sketching out the basics last year around this time, I think. Okay. I was actually in Japan at the time, living with my in-laws, visiting them with kids and everything. So I started thinking about how would you make this into a board game? And of course, we had these discussions with the other guys at Free League, and we had these first what kind of game should it be? I mean, the art books is quite specific, but it hints so much about the rest of the world. So that we had all kinds of weird ideas about maybe it's a trading game, a shipping game. You have this huge like grav lifters that roll through the earth, and you look, you know, you just fly through the sky and you trade stuff. Maybe that's what it is. So we had all kinds of discussions, but then we kind of kept going back to that. We wanted to maybe try to emulate a little bit what the RPG is doing, where you play as the kids, you're trying to explore this like strange but also very familiar kind of environment. So well, that's where we ended up in the end.
I think that's really great, because if you're a fan of the RPG, then you're going to see some similar elements with this board game, and it's going to feel, you know, it's going to feel like a board game version of that RPG, which is really, really cool. So the game is for 1 to 5 players. It plays in different scenarios. You have different scenarios you can play out, and they're for 1 to 5 players, which I really dig, because a lot of times I can't get my friends over, or even in right now with this situation, you know, having a game that you can play by yourself is really, really handy. I'm going to assume it's a co-op game.
Yes.
Where you're working together. Do you want to talk a little bit about what the win condition is? How you win at this Tales from the Loop War game?
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, that comment came up a few times on the Kickstarter comments, and even on, I think, Boarding Geek as well. People who hadn't looked, since we have a print and play, you can actually, you know, check everything out and print, do it yourself. But for those that haven't, the win condition is actually kind of obscure, because it's like, how do you win? What is this? But since it's all scenario driven, at least so far, the win condition is built into the scenario. So often when you start the game, when you start a scenario, you choose a scenario. The one we included in the print and play is called Bottomlock, where you have the different machines are kind of starting acting up and being a bit strange and almost dangerous. So you start investigating that. And at the start, you have no idea how to win. You just know that there's something going on with the machines. We need to check it out. So that's all you know. And then as you play the game, you kind of discover more. And it's a little bit like one of those old choose your own adventure kind of thing. Sure. Should we go this way? Should we do this thing? Should we try and hack this robot, or should we try and investigate this like strange bunker complex? Depending on what happens and in what sequence you do things, it kind of takes different paths. And of course, if you're unlucky, it could be that you're playing the game and it's like, okay, so we failed to hack that machine. Okay, let's see. Then it says we should flip card 5, and you flip it, it's like, oh, we lost. So that's in the cards, but we usually try to telegraph it quite clearly, so it shouldn't be that kind of surprise. But you can never really know for certain, unless you played it before, of course.
So there's a lot of replayability with each scenario, you would say. I mean, yeah, it's not like one of these things where if you play once, it's not gonna, you know, you're not gonna want to go back and since you already know.
It's something we've kind of been going back and forth about, because we really wanted the scenarios to really create a proper, like, interesting narrative that's not just random. So we wanted scenarios, but still we wanted to try and keep it as open as possible. So while you have this narrative thread that you're keep going after, there's also a lot of things that are going on around that. Like, for example, how the machines move, or, you know, the chores you have to do. I would love to go and into that strange new house you found, but I have to pick up my baby sister from daycare. I'm sorry. It's like, so it, yeah, there is replayability. But of course, if you played it 2 or 3 or 4 times, you probably have seen everything the scenario has to offer.
Gotcha.
So that's why, yeah. So we want to include as many scenarios as possible. And also we have a stretch goal coming up pretty soon. That's called sandbox mode.
Yes,
which is more of a which is more of a if you can use that to have a more kind of a bit more random, but also more a bit more random, but also less predetermined kind of narrative going on.
There's some really great aspects of this game that I want to touch on. One, of course, the thing that's probably going to speak to the majority of folks that check out the Kickstarter is, of course, the awesome, you know, robot minis that are going to be included with this game. You've got Dust Studios is doing the minis for this.
Exactly. Yeah, Dust Studios. It's one of those things that, like, I like 10 years ago. That's actually that's how I actually met Costa
for
Free League. I played a game called Dust Tactics, which is like a weird war 2 kind of thing. You have robots and strange stuff. And he played that as well. And it's like, yeah, should we get together and play this? Yeah, sure, okay. And then we did. We became friends. And then, like now, almost 10 years later, it's kind of coming full circle. Since now we're going back to Dust Studios and Paolo Parente, who makes these things, to make these machines for us. Because we knew we wanted to have, we wanted to offer pre-painted minis. And when it comes to pre-painted, Dust Studios is, they're like, they are the best.
Nice. Okay.
They are really, everything is like hand painted. It looks amazing. I mean, the things you see on in the Kickstarter page, the photos are, they are representative of how they will look if you go with a deluxe pledge. So they're really high quality.
If I'm not mistaken, the only way you can get the pre-painted minis is through the Kickstarter. Is that that's correct? Is that
yeah, correct, I think it's. I mean, hopefully we'll have it available to get it after the Kickstarter as well. I mean, we're hoping to get into retail, but since it's all hand painted, it's all. I mean, it's not just like okay, so make another 1,000 copies because that's going to take a while. So we can't really guarantee that we'll have those supply lines. Maybe it'll only be available through our own web shop, or maybe it won't be available at all. We're not entirely sure quite yet. Okay. So I'd say if you really want to get it, I'd say get it now.
That's fair enough. Not just the robots that you've got for pre-painted minis. There's a little, there's a dinosaur scenario that has been, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, because I mean, since Simon's art, of course, the machines are the things you mostly remember. But then, at least, especially in the first book, there's a lot of dinosaurs as well.
There is.
So, and we were like, okay, should we include a dinosaur in the core box? Like, well, yeah, maybe. Well, it doesn't really fit in the budget. But if we make it a stretch goal, then maybe we could do it. So we did. Ask Dust to make us a little dinosaur prototype. And of course, yeah, that's going to come with its own special scenario. Okay. So it's going to be a scenario like incorporating the dinosaur and have it as a central to the theme. But also we're working on ideas to have it as a kind of a wild card also in other scenarios.
Okay.
So we'll see how
interesting.
Things
go. All right. Oh. I like that. The other really interesting part of this game that you've revealed is you know, usually in a lot of co-op games, you have one person that plays like the good guys, and then one person that plays, you know, the adversaries or the bad guys, and they have to control that. But you've got that bit like pre-built into this game with a really clever mechanic. Tell us a little bit about how that works, because I think that's very, very clever.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that. We talked about that as well. Like, should we have someone kind of playing the loop, as it were? Which it could have been cool in some ways, but then of course, then you'd have this situation where you have this like three or four players who are playing these kids and having this great time and just being like, you know, nostalgic 80s, having this experience. And then one person has to kind of be outside of that little community. And it didn't really feel like, it felt like, no, everyone should be together. It's that kind of game. So we wanted to make some kind of system that's plays quickly and doesn't require like loads of bits and extra cards. So yeah, we're using especially the school card, which is for like setting up the theme of the turn or the day in the game. And you have how the robots move, stuff like that. And it does, when you first look at it, it's like, because it does have a lot of information on it.
Right.
Try to kind of focus it. So all that stuff is on one card. And then you have what happens on the board. And of course, then you also have the diary card to make the narrative flow. It's an interesting little like conundrum, because you want to give the players information. If everything just comes up random, you just kind of react to strange stuff. You want to give a bit of information, but not too much.
Right.
Like for example, with a machine movement, you do get information. Okay, you can see like, okay, next turn, the Powerhoofer and the Watchdogs will move. Okay, so if they move, this and this could happen. If they go this way, this could happen. If they go this way, that could happen. Okay, that's bad. We need to take care of this. We need to hack the Powerhoofer or something. But you don't really exactly know where they will move, stuff like that. But you have a little bit of an inkling. You can see a little bit of what's going to happen.
Which I think is really, I mean, if anybody's, you know, watched the show or anything, you know that there's kind of weird things going on, but you're not really sure where it's gonna lead. So it feels very thematic in that aspect, which I thought was really good, cool. Yeah. The other really cool thing that I loved about this game was that the players use time as a resource. Like that's how they're going to accomplish things. And you sometimes there's certain things that will give you more time. Sometimes there's things that will give you less time, and you just try to make the most out of, you know, those time resources that you have, which is really clever, I think.
Thanks. That's good to hear, because that's also something. In a much earlier prototype, we actually had the kind of standard, like, okay, you have two actions and you can do stuff with the two actions, but it kind of felt a little bit limiting in one way, but also kind of boring, because even if you split it up, so you can, like, you can do an action, then I do an action. Even if you do it like that, it's still kind of a bit rigid. It's like, okay, I go here, I do this, then I'm done. But then if you have this time instead, we were like, okay, so what do you have when you're a kid? Because you're out of school, it's like the bell goes and it's like, okay, out of school, fine. And we have three hours before I have to get home for dinner. So okay, what can we do? Where could we go to? What can we like discover? So we want to try and capture that and also have this integrated turn sequence where you can like, okay, I spend one time to take the bus up here. Okay, cool. Oh, and then some other players spend some time to go with me, and then we do this, and then with that, and you can just have this like higgledy piggledy kind of gameplay where everyone's just like, okay, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do this. So everyone was involved.
That's kind of like how it is when you're a kid. You know, you don't have plans. You're just kind of just playing by the. You know, you're just doing whatever the day, you know, gives you at this point.
Yeah, spur of the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Again, just a really clever way of you know, capturing that whole you know, the 80s. Because I'm a former 80s kid. I don't know. I think that I'm gonna guess that I'm a little bit older than you, Martin.
Maybe, but people think I'm younger than I am. I don't know. It's
okay.
I'm 78, so I'm not 78, but born 78.
You were born 78. Well, I'm slightly older than you. So you were a former 80s kid as well. So you kind of remember. Yeah. So you've got that the experience to draw off of well.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, which is awesome.
I'm actually, since Simon, who made the books, he's actually a bit slightly too young for this.
Right.
He's kind of relating his like older siblings and friends. And the fun thing is, like, actually where I'm sitting right now is only about, like 3 or 4 kilometers from the loop, where the loop was built. I grew up very near to it, and I have friends who live there. So it's very, like, awesome. For me, it's like, when I first saw the pictures appearing online, it's like, that's my backyard. Like, super weird, but I don't remember the robot. What is this?
When you said 78, I thought you were joking that you were 78 years old, and I'm like, wow, you know, I mean, if I look that good at 78, I'm what's your secret, Martin?
Yeah, that would have been something.
Yeah. Oh man,
time warp.
Yeah, exactly. Which again would be fitting of the Tales from the Loop.
Yeah, you never know, us Swedes.
So my question for you, and there's many other things that I was impressed with the Kickstarter video that you shot with the gameplay, and I'm going to tell folks if you have checked out the Kickstarter and you definitely need to watch that video and just kind of see how it all works, because I think it's really kind of you do a great job of explaining how the nuts and bolts of the
board game. How the game flows.
Of course, the Amazon series hit earlier this month. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I finished the last episode a few days ago now.
Okay. What did you think?
I liked it. I really liked it. At first, I saw the first episode, I was like, okay, I like it. I mean, it's beautiful.
It is.
And everything looks perfect. And it's a bit like different from how I pictured it, but it's like, I like it. And that's what episode 2 is like, wow, this is getting dark a little bit, but it kind of fits with the books. And then I watched it all the way through, and it has a bit of ups and downs. I like some better than others, but overall, I think they nailed the, like in Simon's books, you have some of it are kind of lighthearted and kind of fun.
Right.
But then there are other parts that it's still kind of lighthearted because it's only a sentence or two, but the implications are quite dark. So you can, and especially, I mean, if you go to the second book, I mean, things are really getting grim there. But I think they did a good job of capturing a kind of this weird sense of things. It doesn't go all like Black Mirror. Like the horror territory, not quite. But it's like it's slightly uncomfortable, which I really like.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And yeah. I'm gonna say there are certain episodes that I like more than others. Yeah, but definitely watch them all because they all feed into each other, which is amazing. And once you've watched the whole series, it's just like, wow. And I think we're probably going to, you know, marathon it again just because I'm sure there's stuff that I missed watching it the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Since everything's so interconnected.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are things that, yeah, exactly. That when once you know everything, you go back and watch it. It's like, oh, okay, so that's why.
So now that you've watched the series, and you've had, the board game has been in development for a little while now. Is there anything that you might change or anything that you might, tweak a little bit because of more of this content is out in the world?
Well, it's possible. I mean, there's a few things from the TV series that I kind of, you know, that I like, raised an eyebrows, like, oh, this would be interesting. So yeah, there's possibilities that some things might sneak back into the board game as well. Okay. Since I mean, it's still in an alpha state, there's still room to improve and add stuff. So yeah, there might be for sure.
Okay.
They have some really cool ideas in it.
Right now, you're knocking down stretch goals for this, and you're just a lot of them are just adding scenarios and upgrading. We talked a little bit about the sandbox mode, which I think is the last stretch goal that they've announced at this point. I don't, they might have more. I don't know. But the there is more.
Of course.
Oh, okay, good. the other thing that I really liked about, and I'm seeing this quite a bit with board games, player board is double layered.
Yeah.
Because a lot of this game is, like I said, you have those time, you know, they're like cubes. Yeah. And you put them on your dashboard or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you have it double layered, they kind of stay in place, which is really, I really love that more than like, I don't know. It's like one of those little things that just makes a big difference when you're playing a game.
It's something, I mean, playing board games is a very tactile experience, right? You have all these little things that you kind of touch and you do stuff and you flip things and you roll dice. So adding to that, I think, even though, I mean, practically there's very little difference. I mean, sure, it's a bit more safer for, you won't bump the table and have anything, you know. But still, it's mostly just to slot things in there and be like, ah, there we go. And it just feels right. And it's, yeah. I love that kind of stuff. It's like they're pimping your game, making them that just edge up a little bit. It's nice. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's one of the things that I love about Free League and their RPGs. Like their books are like that. Like they're just, not only are they great games, but the books themselves physically are just a really great, like they feel really well, you know, they're good quality. Mm-hmm. You know, the art is amazing in all their books, the page, you know, thickness is great. You know, it's little things like that you're just like, okay, yeah, this is what I know what I'm going to expect when I get a Free League, you know, RPG. Mm-hmm. And you know, now that we're seeing board games, you know, that's kind of how you know, I think that's the kind of the area that they want to push towards too, well. But I don't want to, you know.
No, but yes, you're. I mean, you're absolutely right. And it's one thing because when we did Crusader Kings, which I also helped like doing the base core gameplay loop for, and then mainly Thomas kind of built it from there. I mean, we all started together, but yeah. Anyway, and Crusader Kings, it was a fine game. I mean, it works, but there are, especially components wise, there were things that we felt like, okay, we want to do this differently for the next game. So that's also one of the reasons we would talk to Dust Studios, for example, for the miniatures. We didn't just want to talk to, you know, any old minis manufacturer in China. We wanted, you know, the absolute best. So, and if we do the same thing for the rest of the components as well. We want to have like a really, it should feel like a deluxe game, even if you don't get the deluxe pledge, basically. So yeah, that's very much what I wanted to go for. Nice. And of course, as you say, the books as well. I mean, it's super important. Just whenever there comes like a print proof from a new book to the office, everyone's like, sidles up and is like, okay, let's have a look. And everyone's like flipping through and like smelling and like touching. how is this? Like, homing out. So yeah, it's super important to have it. Like, it should be, it should feel like a solid product.
I'm going to tell folks, if you're excited about all things Tales from the Loop, the board game, like I said, go check it out on Kickstarter right now. Yeah. I know times are tough for a lot of folks. I'll tell folks that if you do just back for, you know, a dollar, you will have access to the pledge manager after the fact. So
yeah.
I know that Free League is very conscious of that, you know, for a lot of folks. So go check that out. You also stay up to date with everything that gets added to the Kickstarter and all the developments there as well.
Yeah, it's like, even if you feel like it's not really possible to pledge, they give a full pledge, just making one of the small ones, it kind of tells us that there's an interest, and we know kind of what prepared for when the pledge banner goes online, so we can have all our ducks lined up.
I think that's going to do it for our session. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we take off, before we end?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think we talked about all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have you back on, because I have a feeling that this is just the first of many Martin projects that that you're going to be working on for Free League Publishing.
We have a number of ideas. I'm like, you know, just looking at my like projects folder and looking at all the different titles, and like, because whenever I have an idea for like, okay, so you can make a game out of this, you can make something, I just, you know, put a little doc together, like the highlights of the idea, and you put it in the folder, so you have it like a little vault of different like seeds, and some of them have started to grow into a seedling or a little tree. So yeah, there will be more stuff for sure.
If folks want to know more about Martin, where should they go? Where's the good place to get more Martin content?
Well, actually, I'm on Twitter. I'm not really active. I'm more of a follower than a content creator, but I'm on Twitter as Fire Broadside.
Okay.
It's part of a blog that I used to have, which is also called Fire Broadside, which I started way back when I got like, I won't say back into gaming, but when I got back into gaming, like seriously, when I lived in Japan 10 years ago, I started a blog, which is, I haven't been using it for a couple of years, but if you like, what did Martin do a few years ago? It's like Mutant Year Zero campaign look like? I don't know. Find out. You can do it.
Okay. Hey.
So it's like role-playing games, board games, miniature painting, stuff like that. You can just, you know, fireball side at Blogspot if you're curious.
And of course, I'll tell folks that if they want to know more about Free League Publishing, to go check out freeleaguepublishing.com and like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. So if you are interested, go check out the Kickstarter. Let me know in the comments if you back the Kickstarter or what you're really excited about in the Kickstarter. All right, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. And remember, winning shouldn't be the only victory condition when you get to the table. We'll see you next time. Bye now.